What's going on, everyone? This is the Fantasy Playbook Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I'm your host. I can be found on Twitter at KyleYNFL. I am joined today by Danny Kelly of The Ringer. He can be found on Twitter at DannyBKelly. Danny, how are you today, my friend? We are so close to getting to the start of the week one regular season.
I'm hanging in there. Definitely hanging in there. Very much excited for the season. You know, final cuts have happened now, and then it feels like the last big step before the season starts. So, I'm excited about the actual games, ones that count starting.
I know. Well, right after this podcast, I am going to be going back and updating all my projections, doing essentially everything all over again, because we have so much that has shifted and changed over the last 48 hours here in the NFL. Can't wait for that. No, I'm looking forward to getting into that routine here, man, as we get into week one. The last drafts are happening here this weekend. So this is going to be a ton of fun. We got some high upside players that we are going to be talking about here on today's episode. Some players that we think you should be paying attention to if you still have yet to draft. Some names that you might want to remember when you are coming up on the clock. Before we get into that, let's talk the latest news here presented by Sleeper. Join millions of players today and download the Sleeper app to stay on top of all the latest and breaking news in the NFL. Obviously, yesterday, we are recording this here on Wednesday, yesterday was roster cutdown day. There was a lot that happened. So, a lot of fallout now. Ian Rappaport reports, that's a mouthful, Ian Rappaport reports that O.J. Howard, who was just released by the Bills, is visiting the Bengals today and is expected to sign. O.J. Howard, not on the redraft radar, obviously getting cut from Buffalo there. I don't think that this hurts Hayden Hurst as a late-round option there either. Rappaport also reports that Sony Michel, who was just released by the Dolphins, will visit the Chargers today. Danny, let's play this forward. Let's assume that Sony Michel does sign here in Los Angeles. Does that make him the target in the final rounds over a Josh McKelly, Isaiah Spiller? What are your thoughts here if Sony Michel does land with Los Angeles?
If he does sign, that has to be kind of a sign that they are not satisfied kind of with what they've gotten. And, you know, based on what I've seen, I don't blame them, honestly, for looking elsewhere, because I don't think Josh Kelly, Larry Roundtree or Isaiah Spiller have looked all that impressive in the preseason action that they've had. Obviously Spiller is injured at the moment. He has an ankle injury. So, it does make him kind of interesting. I'm not going to go overboard or anything and make him like a must target type of player, but you know, we want a piece of this offense. We want to have the handcuff to Eckler and whoever it ends up being. It could end up just being like a three-person, rotation. So it could be not all that valuable. But, the bottom line is I was very much interested to see if they would claim any of these cut running backs. They didn't end up doing that. So, Sony Michel becomes much more interesting. Maybe they just want a guy who's like reliable, has been there, veteran. He's good in both the pass game and the ground game, and maybe he'll be sort of just what they need, what they're looking for there for that backup spot.
Well, we've seen Sony Michel, obviously, just last year in Los Angeles in the same stadium playing for the other team, be very productive when he got the opportunity. So I think for me, from a fantasy standpoint, Sony Michel, not someone that I'm necessarily drafting, because even if Sony Michel does sign with Los Angeles, it's going to take him a few weeks to get up to speed with this system, everything like that. He's not going to walk out there week one and be the Melvin Gordon to Austin Eckler, right? So I think he's worth keeping an eye on as we move throughout the first few weeks of the season. Keep an eye on how that RB2 role is playing out. Might be someone that you're willing to throw some fab on in week four of the NFL season at that point. Pete Carroll says that they are taking it, quote, one day at a time with Ken Walker. Danny, you are obviously a Seahawks fan, so I'm going to throw this to you. What the heck do we do with Ken Walker, man? Pete Carroll saying that, like, it's one day at a time. I mean, Pete Carroll and injuries, just regardless, is kind of a scary thing to be talking about. But Ken Walker, is this someone that you're still targeting in redraft leagues?
Not particularly, no. I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, they don't seem to have, number one, I don't think they've told us exactly what it is. I don't think it's public.
Right.
I mean,
people are speculating a hernia, but he said it wasn't a hernia. So I don't know.
So I've seen a couple of different, beat reporters talking about what they've heard it is. It's some sort of hernia. The, timeline is unclear. Add in the fact that he missed some very critical time during the preseason training camp. It's just like it feels like he's going to be behind the eight ball in terms of getting on the field and doing a consistent, having a consistent role, at least for the first maybe month of the season, maybe longer. It's just kind of hard to know. And so for me, I'm much more excited about Rashad Penny now. Travis Homer and DJ Dallas both played really, really well in the preseason too, and kind of show that they can pick up some of the slack with Ken Walker going out. So, as much as I love Kenneth Walker, and honestly, I really like him in Dynasty, I think, longer term, he's still going to be awesome. He's going to be a high volume guy for them. This year, I'm just kind of like, you know, put him on the back burner. I don't think it's going to be like a big time, you know, big volume guy early on particularly, but this injury could stretch out. And I don't think even the Seahawks know like right. how long it's going to take him, because it sounds like they don't have any experience with this type of injury in the past. So they don't have like a set timeline. It's just going to be kind of figuring out. And like you alluded to, you know, Pete Carroll's always sort of very positive and sort of, you know, tries to blow smoke up everyone's ass, but like he could be out like for months. It's very unclear.
I think if it was a situation for Ken Walker walking back as the RB1, like if he was in the backfield where we knew he was the RB1, like by himself, right. then that's a situation where, okay, I might be still willing to take the shot, but he's still got to deal with Rashad Penny here in this backfield. We don't know what that split's going to look like when they're both healthy and on the field. So I think it could be kind of a wasted pick there with Ken Walker. Could pay off, but it also has just the feeling of we don't know when he's coming back. Everything that you talked through there is just a situation that I'm looking to avoid if I can. Broncos placed Greg Dulcich, the rookie tight end, on IR with a hamstring injury, and he will miss the first 4 weeks of the season. This was one of the concerns with Albert Okwuegbunam was, okay, he could potentially lose some playing time there to Greg Dulcich, but yeah. at least we have throughout the first 4 weeks of the season, we know that Albert O is going to get the opportunity. Just don't know if he is going to take advantage of it. The Ravens waived Tyler Beatty, the rookie running back. The Patriots released Kevin Harris, the rookie running back out of South Carolina. And the Texans released Marlon Mack. We know now, just before we started recording, that Mack is back on the practice squad for mm-hmm. Houston. So he didn't even end up anywhere else. So Marlon Mack back in the Houston organization on the practice squad, though. What do we do with Dameon Pierce here, Danny? This is a situation where it's all over the place with Pierce as far as his value currently in drafts and where we should be valuing him. Where does he land in your running back rankings? Where are you comfortable taking him in drafts?
You know, I'm pretty excited about him, honestly. I'm looking at the Ringer's rankings here, and we've got him at RB34, which I think is around consensus-ish, you know, around ADP. You know, we're not getting crazy excited about him because he's still on the Texans offense. He's still a rookie. And by the way, I think the Texans ran the fewest times last year and had the fewest yards, rushing yards. So, you know, like the piece of the pie that he's inheriting is not as big as some of these other guys that you probably want to like prioritize above him. But based on what we saw in the preseason, man, he looked really, really explosive, really physical, downhill type of guy. Could be one of the surprise rookies of the season. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely targeting him. I'm just not going too crazy with it because I think it's still a situation where, you know, if he's not having a piece of the passing game and Rex Burkhead is still around, if he doesn't have right. a piece of the passing game, it's, you know, his upside is definitely somewhat limited by the fact that he's on a, you know, what we think is probably a bad team and a bad offense.
So you said RB34 for the Ringer's rankings. This is going to make me feel really bad about spitting out my ranking here at Dameon Pierce at RB22.
Go ahead. I don't even hate that. I'm going to look up where I've got him real quick. But, I mean, yeah, like I don't mind people being aggressive on him because I really like him. I think he's a very talented player. Hold on, let me see here.
I'll speak to this really quick while you're looking that up. Like for me with Dameon Pierce at RB22, it comes down to playing the game of do I want Dameon Pierce or this player? Do I want Dameon Pierce or this player? And you just kind of work him up the rankings as you go throughout that. So I'm like, do I want Dameon Pierce or J.K. Dobbins? J.K. Dobbins, we don't know if he's out there week one. Dameon Pierce. Like Josh Jacobs, okay, that looks like a complete committee. I'll take Dameon Pierce. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that's closer. Chase Edmonds, Elijah Mitchell. Like at that point, that's how I can work Dameon Pierce yeah. up the rankings there just because of that volume.
Like what do we even do with Breece Hall too? You know what I mean? Right. I've got him at RB28, so I'm a little closer to you on that. And then, you know, our consensus ranking at the Ringer. So I'm with you. I mean, I think it's like I'd rather have him than, you know, even Antonio Gibson now.
Right.
Who is probably going to have a bigger role because of the Brian Robinson situation, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, even with that, like I probably prioritize Pierce over, you know, guys like that. Gibson, Miles Sanders, Josh yep. Jacobs, Singletary. So, yeah, yep. I'm with you. I think. You know, I think he's going to get enough volume to be definitely have a high floor. It's just kind of, I guess, the ceiling is somewhat right. capped by the passing game usage, which is unclear. I mean, he could be the primary pass catcher for them, but we kind of have to see how it all goes.
Yep, I completely agree. That floor is there. You're looking at guys in that range of the running back rankings where what's the volume, what's the workload? A lot of uncertainty with a lot of those guys. We feel comfortable with the workload there. Just a matter of what is that ceiling? Can he burst through there in that Houston situation, in that Houston offense? Let's go here. Tyler Johnson, the final thing here. This happened literally right before we started recording. Tyler Johnson was claimed by the Houston Texans as waiver claims went through based on yesterday's action in the NFL. Really the only standout there from a fantasy standpoint was Tyler Johnson. He did not make the cut there in Tampa Bay. Has proven that he can play when he gets the opportunity, just in a loaded wide receiver room there in Tampa Bay. Ends up with Houston. Could easily slide into that John Metchie vacated role here this year. Instant reaction there for Tyler Johnson landing with the Houston Texans.
I mean, I think it's going to give him a chance to prove that he could be a starter in the league. I mean, like you said, he got stuck on one of the like worst offenses to try and break through in terms of like this just stacked group there of receivers, and it was just going to be like a long-term game for him to try and like earn a starter's job eventually. And I would say like in the opportunities that he's had to play in games, he's had some, definitely had some flashes. He's definitely also had a couple bad plays, but you can see the talent, and I think he is just comfortable playing in the slot. Like you said, he's going to fill that Metchie role in year one. I think they drafted Metchie to be their slot receiver. Obviously he's out for the season, or probably going to be out for the season, so this is a huge opportunity. I mean, he's going up against, I'm just looking at their depth chart, like Chris Moore, who's 29, like journeyman, you know, Philip Dorsett, another like journeyman. I don't even know if Dorsett is best in the slot. Anyway, he might be more of like an outside guy. So yeah, I mean, he's going to be, he has a very strong chance to be lined up in the three receiver sets with Collins, Nico Collins, and Brandon Cooks. So this is a big opportunity for him. And I've been a fan of his throughout the years. I thought that he fell in the draft a little bit further than he probably should have. But you know, again, it is kind of like concerning that they cut him, you know, because they have all these injuries that are happening right now. They've got a lot of uncertainty, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I should say. Yeah. And the fact that they cut him is a little bit concerning. Like maybe, you know, he wasn't playing very well in practice or whatever. Like they have a lot more information on it than we do. So, that's slightly concerning. So I don't want to get too crazy about it and go like, you know, way out over my skis on Tyler Johnson, but I am kind of excited to see what he does here. I think he's worth monitoring.
The fact that Tampa Bay kept Brashad Perryman over Tyler Johnson should give us a little bit of caution there, should pump the brakes there for Tyler Johnson, but yet the opportunity is 100% there, right? They only kept four wide receivers yesterday is what I saw. So it's Brandon Cooks on the outside, it's Nico Collins on the outside, and then that slot receiver role is up for grabs there in Houston. So there is a very realistic possibility that Tyler Johnson, again, not someone that you should draft, just at this point, it's a dart throw. He's got to get acclimated to the offense. He's actually got to take advantage of that opportunity. But week four, week five of the season, keep an eye on Tyler Johnson. He could be someone that you're putting some fab on at that point. All right, that is the latest news presented by Sleeper. Again, join millions of players today. Download the Sleeper app to stay on top of all the latest and breaking news in the NFL. Remember that you can interact with the show over on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at _theffplaybook, youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook to watch this podcast and a ton of other exclusive content as we move into the season as well. All right, Danny, let's get into the conversation here today. High upside players. Now, the exercise and why I wanted to do this here at this point was drafts are happening. We talked about that. They're about to happen here either right before you're listening to this or right after you're listening to this episode or this weekend here. So wanted to highlight a few players that have a ton of upside as we move into this next year. And we saw this last year where the first round running backs, I mean, run through that first round running back list. It was just injury after injury after injury. Rostering those backup players that carried a ton of upside helped you win leagues last year. So these players that if the starter above them goes down with injury, they carry a ton of upside, or potentially even players that carry upside that we believe are just not getting talked enough about here that you might want to circle as you are coming up on the clock. So I'm going to throw this to you first. Who is one player that you believe carries a lot more upside than people are anticipating this year?
Well, I mean, I don't know if people are really sleeping on this guy necessarily, but one of my favorite sort of lower, like tier two, tier three running backs in this draft is in the draft this year is AJ Dillon, because I think he does have a solid floor. Obviously, I think he's going to split, you know, a lot of carries with Aaron Jones in Green Bay. I think they're going to be probably pretty run heavy based on the way that they have constructed their roster. You know, they're pretty light on receiver talent at the moment. So they're going to be a balanced offense. I think Dylan's going to get involved in the passing game. And then of course, so like, obviously I think that gives him a floor as like an RB3 type flex type guy or whatever. But then of course, if Aaron Jones goes down, he is a league winning type player. So I think maybe, like, I can't remember who said it. Maybe it was Dwayne McFarland, but it was like, you know, like handcuffed with benefits essentially, or whatever. Like, this right. is a guy who, has standalone value, but like, if he does have an injury that goes, you know, like the guy in front of him gets hurt, he's going to absolutely go bonkers. So, Dylan is kind of one guy that I feel very good about drafting just because of that like combination of floor and ceiling.
There is still time to set your fantasy football league up for success this season. If you're dreading playing on one of the same old boring fantasy football platforms that you have been for years because there's simply no customization and you can't make the changes you want to, you can import your league easily over to Fantrax. Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform in the industry, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your dynasty, keeper, redraft, and best ball leagues. If there is anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, Fantrax likely has it, and there's a reason why they're among the most trusted names in fantasy sports since 2008. Move your league over or set up a new one today at Fantrax.com/playbook and have your whole league be entered to win their incredible giveaway for August. Fantrax will be sending one lucky fantasy football league to any NFL regular season game of their choice, along with $6,000 towards travel and accommodations. It's super easy to enter, and you can go over to the ffplaybook.com/Fantrax giveaway for all the details. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. So AJ Dillon on my list as well here for high upside. Nice. So I'm already a little bit concerned. I'm like, maybe we should have compared players here before we started recording. Otherwise, we might just end up talking about four total players here. But AJ Dillon, I love the call here. RB23 in Fantasy Pros' latest ADP consensus. And we talked about this range of running backs earlier where we have Damian Pierce now entering into that conversation over guys, J.K. Dobbins, Damien Harris, Josh Jacobs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that range of running back that it gets pretty gross pretty quick. AJ Dillon for me is above all those guys because I do believe that he has that standalone value. You're going to be able to play him as an RB2 in your roster, in your lineup week in and week out. But then again, the upside there, if something were to happen to Dillon. So I'll throw that to you. Where is Dillon in the running back rankings for you? And is that someone that you are willing to take over guys like J.K. Dobbins, Damien Harris, Josh Jacobs, that list of running backs there?
Yeah, let me pull it up here. I've got him at the, let's see here, RB. Sorry, I'm trying to find it. I got him at RB20. Okay. And I do have him. I've got him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, who is a starter. I've got him over Elijah Mitchell, who I think just comes with some major, you know, injury and like workload concerns. Yep. You know, Chase Edmonds, who's a question mark, Damien Harris. I got him over all of those guys. I got him at the front of that tier, kind of like right in that Cam Akers range. So, yeah, I'm very bullish on him. I think that, number one, like, I really think he's a talented player. So it's I always feel better about like betting on guys that I think are really good rather than trying to like prognosticate exactly how many carries they're going to get or whatever, like trying to like guess what coaches are going to do. I just like go with the guys who I think are really good. If that's a good tiebreaker anyway. And so, yeah, I'm very into Dillon. I think he's also very underrated as a pass catcher. You know, obviously he didn't have much pass catching usage in college, but he's shown in the pros, I believe, that he's pretty good at that. And so, you know, with a lack of receiver talent, they're probably going to get him pretty involved in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, you look at ADP, that's Elijah Mitchell going ahead of A.J. Dillon, Josh Jacobs still at RB21 off the board, Travis Etienne, then you get into Cam Akers, Breece Hall, David Montgomery, a ton of question marks there. A.J. Dillon, we know what we're going to get, and the upside is through the roof. You mentioned the talent level there. I was going to mention this for all running backs last season. With more than 40 rush attempts, Dillon finished with the third highest PFF rushing grade. Yeah. So an incredibly talented player. And also, he finished with 41 red zone rush attempts last season, which was the 12th most at the position. If Jones is needed more as a receiver, we could see those attempts increase here this year for A.J. Dillon in the red zone. So I think a guy who carries a ton of upside here heading into 2022, a player that we absolutely should be targeting there, especially as we come up on that running back area in ADP there where it gets pretty gross. All right, so that was both of our first guys here. I'm going to turn it back around to you. Who's that second high upside player? And if you mention one of my guys, I'm going to be really, really concerned.
All right, the second guy I want to talk about is Chris Olave.
Okay, we're good. Okay.
Who, again, I think obviously there's a lot of question marks about, number one, the Saints offense in general and Jameis Winston and how it's all going to look, you know, post Sean Payton. Plenty of question marks here, which I think has pushed his ADP down to the point where it's, you know, you're taking a flyer on him. It's like 8th, 9th, 10th round or whatever. But I think he has the upside to be, you know, one of the big surprising rookie receivers this season. He is in a situation where he's probably going to be the starter from day one. He is a polished route runner. He has big play potential. He was a huge touchdown scorer at Ohio State. So he brings that, you know, potential to the game or whatever. And I think, again, it's like Dylan, where he has the floor. He's going to be the number two, I think, in this offense from day one. And then if Michael Thomas, who is among the most unreliable players in the NFL right now, like if for whatever reason he misses games this year, I mean, you could look at Olave as being like the legit number one in this offense. I know that Jarvis Landry is there, but, you know, I think he's more of like a slot underneath option at this point in his career.
I called him on yesterday's podcast. I called him a chain mover.
Jarvis exactly.
Landry, right. Just
exactly.
A chain mover in this offense. Yep.
Exactly. He's playing a role. But I think Olave, you know, has a chance to be like the de facto number one in this offense for a good stretch of the season, especially if Michael Thomas goes down or if Michael Thomas just isn't the guy who we thought he used, you know, who thought he was. So, again, it's a all these guys I'm going to bring up are a combination of floor and ceiling that I feel comfortable taking them because you kind of have that safety net, but you also have like sky high potential to be a type of a, like a league winner type guy.
So Chris Olave, wide receiver 44 off the board in Fantasy Pros' latest ADP consensus. Let me throw a couple names that are around that area in the wide receiver territory. So would you rather have Chris Olave at wide receiver 44 or Christian Kirk at wide receiver 42?
I literally have them ranked right next to each other. I've got Kirk at wide receiver 39 and Olave at wide receiver 40. So, I mean, I guess I lean Kirk slightly. But I mean, that's exactly the range.
Super close. Yep. Let's do one more. Chris Olave or Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett off the board at wide receiver 39.
Oh man. Again, I have Lockett slightly higher, but like, honestly, if I was on the clock, I might take Olave. It's one of those things where it's like a gut check to talk about this. Just because, I mean, I think like number one, Lockett, it's a whole different discussion. I think he's very underrated still. But like, Olave's ceiling is probably higher than Lockett, you know, just because I think the Saints offense has potential to be so much better than the Seahawks offense probably this year. And they're not going to be, I do think that the other thing I wanted to bring up is like the Saints could be much more pass heavy than you think this season. You know, a lot of the reports out of reports coming out of camp have been that basically they're going to be much more pass oriented, more three receiver sets, probably a little bit more up tempo. I think last year, we saw, and particularly the last couple seasons with Drew Brees, is like they slowed things down, got to more balance, and that was because they had to kind of deal. Yep. It's not necessarily they wanted to be that way. So I think this year, especially if Jameis is healthy, that they could be a lot more pass voluminous, I guess, than people are expecting.
I had the thought just the other day. I was like, what if this Saints offense is a lot more high-powered than we're giving it credit for this year? And if so, we could be looking at a lot of league winners coming out of, you know, the Saints with where their ADPs are currently. So that could be an offense. I had this thought the other day, and I think this, you know, we could look back on this offense at the end of the season and go like, man, we should have been investing in this a little bit more than what we were. Chris Olave, excellent call there as a high upside player. For me, I'm going to go with Alexander Mattison. This is a guy who obviously is right in that classification. Everyone kind of knows this of high upside. Now, currently, I will throw in this caveat too. He's being discussed as far as a trade candidate. So that could still happen here as we lead up into the NFL season. So we could be getting a potential starting running back in the 11th, 12th round of ADP currently. But we know the upside when Alexander Mattison is the starter, when he is the option in this offense. Last year, Mattison had three games with over 20 carries. Did this, 26 for 112 on the ground, added on 8 targets for 6 receptions and 59 yards.
Nice.
The next game, 25 for 113 on the ground, 7 targets, 7 receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown. 22 for 90 and a touchdown on the ground, then 3 targets, 3 receptions, 34 yards in those 3 games. The talent level is absurd. And we know at this point that Dalvin Cook, for as great as he can be from a fantasy standpoint, is going to miss time at some point this year, right? It's just inevitable. Right. He has not played a full season in his entire NFL career. So we're going to get some games here with Mattison. I'm also curious, if he does stick here in Minnesota, do we see them, if they are sticking true to what they've talked about this offseason, moving Dalvin Cook around the formation more, do we see, kind of like A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, do we see both these guys on the field a little bit more than we're anticipating? If so, that could push Mattison just from a pure insurance running back, a guy who you're not going to consider at all until Dalvin Cook goes down, to potentially someone that you can plug in there on bye weeks. Then you also get that upside if Dalvin Cook does miss time and potentially two, like I said, if he does get traded, an option there that if he walks into, I would say about half of the situations across the NFL, he's going to be that starting running back because he's that talented. So Alexander Mattison here as a high upside player, someone that I'm loving targeting at in the 10th, 11th round there. You can get him as an RB4, RB5 on your roster in most drafts. That's something that I'm scooping up every single time. Let's turn it back over to you here. We are now on your third high upside player.
I'm going to go with James Cook of the Bills, who he might have a little bit lower floor than some of the other guys that are on this list, just because there could be this situation where they have a three-man backfield and he's just not getting enough touches to make it all worthwhile. But both Zach Moss and Devin Singletary have been hit or miss with injuries over their careers. And by the way, I just think he's better than both of those guys. I think James Cook is better than both of those players. I think Cook is more explosive. He's more dynamic. He's definitely better in the passing game than any of the other running backs on that roster. And so I'm taking him, you know, again, the floor is basically like a souped up JD McKissick type of player where right. He's in the passing game. He's involved. They're running routes down the field. He's not just like a dump off option necessarily. That was how he's used at Georgia. Like, you know, he was a dynamic, kind of like a game changer. When they needed a big play, they brought him in and they would like line him up on the outside and stuff. So I think he has, you know, underrated potential to be useful in the passing game week in and week out. And then again, like if he just straight up beats out the other players around him, or at least is the sort of 1A or the lead guy in like a three-man backfield or two-man backfield, you know, that could definitely boost his upside even more and have him come in and be like a quote-unquote three-down back. I know he's never probably going to be like a super high-volume guy, and he never has been, but if he ends up sort of being the number one in this offense, then I think that could really – you know, pay off, because you want every piece of this offense that you can get, even though right. You know they're pass heavy and all that. That's actually probably what you want from a guy like Cook, who is best in the passing game.
Cook, if he does become that RB1 in Buffalo, is never going to get it's never going to be a 250 touch guy. It's just not going to be. His frame is probably not going to, but he can make up for it with the scoring opportunities because of how high powered this offense is in Buffalo. For the sake of time, I'm going to keep moving here. I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon. We need to remember that Melvin Gordon was nice actually one. Really good last year, right? 8 rushing touchdowns, 4.5 yards per carry, and another 2 touchdowns through the year for Melvin Gordon on an absolute dumpster fire of an offense. This was a terrible offense last year. Now we're looking at this situation in Denver being drastically different with Russell Wilson, got Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, you got playmakers all around here. Now, Javonte Williams going to be the guy in this offense. Now, what does the guy equate to from a usage standpoint? Who knows? We'll find out here pretty quickly. I don't know if Melvin Gordon is ever going to be the guy that we look at and say, yeah, I feel comfortable rolling him out there as an RB2 with Javonte Williams healthy. But if Williams misses time, we need to be looking at Melvin Gordon as a top 12 lock at the running back position. And I don't think enough people are talking about that right now, where, you know, you're coming up on the clock there in your drafts. You see the name Melvin Gordon and you're like, ew, gross. You know, we've seen this. We've kind of played this out with Melvin Gordon. I'm saying we need to pay attention to the name Melvin Gordon a little bit more as an RB4, RB5 on your roster with that same type of upside as Alexander Mattison. That's someone that you need to remember there. All right, let's throw it back to you here. Your final high upside player.
I'm going with Ramondre Stevenson of the Patriots. Again, has the floor because he's probably going to be in what we're seeing as a two-man rotation in New England, at least to start the season. Ty Montgomery is involved, but it's unclear exactly how involved he's going to be. And plus, he has an injury at this point, right. So he may end up missing the first month of the season or so. And that could be enough to kind of like take him off their radar as like one of the rotational guys. And so, you know, again, if you have a two-man rotation at the running back spot in New England, that's going to be enough to make both Stevenson and Damian Harris, you know, startable in your lineup. And so I think he gives you that floor as like, a flex option, maybe an RB2, we'll see. And then if Harris goes down or if they trade him or something like that, you know, the Patriots have always been the type of team that, you know, looks to move away from guys that are on their last year of their deal and they're probably not in their long-term plans. If you see an injury somewhere that, you know, team wants a running back and they go out and trade for Damian Harris, like that's wheels up for Ramondre. And he's good pass catcher, really light on his feet, really quick, like footed for his size. He's got some power. He's a three down back in his skill set. And if he can play, if he has an injury in front of him in Damian Harris, or if he gets traded, like he could be absolutely just go nuclear this season. So I like betting on that. I like having the, again, it's floor versus, it's floor and ceiling with this guy. So I really like picking him.
Yeah, I think with Ty Montgomery, that's the concern, right? Yep. Is Ty Montgomery going to be out there week one? We don't know. I still don't know what the severity of the injury was. It's Bill Belichick, so we may never know what happened here with Ty Montgomery in week three of the preseason. But if he comes out there in week one, I have a little bit of concern for Ramondre Stevenson as far as what that workload's going to be week in and week out. But I agree with you. If this does become a two-man rotation, because they did move on from J.J. Taylor, Kevin Harris as well. So it's Pierre Strong, it's Ty Montgomery, Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson as the backs on this roster. Currently, then we've got a two-man rotation there with Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson. Now we're talking about him as a steady, someone that you can consider as a flex option with upside there if Harris does miss time. For me, I'll wrap the conversation up here with, you know, we talk about high upside players. We mentioned a lot of running backs here today. Go back to the wide receiver position as a guy who has kind of is like the high-end insurance wide receiver this year. It's Joshua Palmer, the wide receiver for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Great one.
We've seen the talent level. We've seen that he can be incredibly productive when he gets the opportunity in this offense here in Los Angeles, a very, very high-powered offense attached to Justin Herbert in a division that is going to be, you know, putting up points regularly week in and week out. I think Palmer is going to be in the flex conversation there as the wide receiver three in this offense week in and week out. But then, man, the upside, if Keenan Allen or Mike Williams were to miss time, we've seen that Palmer has that versatility to play inside and outside and win in both areas there. So someone that, you know, if it's Mike Williams going down, well, oh, man, Palmer's only a slot guy. No, we don't have that, right? He can play inside and outside and get an increased opportunity at either side there. So I think Joshua Palmer is a guy that at his ADP, you scoop up there. He has a wide receiver five on your roster. You let him sit there. You can play him if you're in a pinch, but man, the upside is through the roof. We're talking about a top 24 wide receiver. If Williams or Allen miss time with an injury, Palmer's got the talent level. And in this offense, that's what you want to go after. Joshua Palmer there is the final high upside player. Any thoughts there on Palmer before we wrap
up? Yeah, I love that. And the best part about him is it's either or, you know, it's not like you're, if either of those guys get hurt, by the way, both of them have had injury situations in the past, you know, you have like a, it's almost like you have a double chance that he's going to get in there and have like a pretty big volume, like role. So, I love that one. He's definitely on my backup list too. And he's just, I think he's really good. He's got like really great hands, just big, good route runner. He's kind of got a complete skill set. You know, I wouldn't say he's like elite at anything, but he's just a complete like pro receiver. So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, someone that can bring the contested catch ability to fill in for Mike Williams, but then also has that separation ability to be able to win underneath as well, like Keenan Allen does out of the slot there in Los Angeles. All right, Danny, that'll do it for today's conversation, taking a look at some high upside players. Thank you so much for carving out some time here in the chaos that is August. Here's where we make the push for week one. Why don't you let everyone know what you got going on over at The Ringer and where they can find more of you and your work?
You can check out the Ringer Fantasy Football Show. It's going, I think, four times a week right now. And into the season, we got our Ringer Fantasy rankings up at the site, and we will have those going updated during the season as well. So, yeah, check that out. Ringer. It's fantasyfootball at theringer.com. Fantasyfootball.theringer.com.
Absolutely love it. Danny, thank you again for taking some time and jumping on. Remember to head over to youtube.com/thefantasyplaybook. Hit that like button on this video. Hit the subscribe button as well. 6,600 YouTube subscribers and climbing here just over 6 months of the company. Absolutely appreciate the support. All right, that'll do it. For Danny Kelly, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time.